Reading from Isaiah 53, from verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.
Atlantic Magazine runs a feature every month called The Big Question. And this month the big question is, what day most change the course of history? What day would you pick? Here are some of the answers which various eminent people gave. The day that the driver of France Ferdinand's carriage took a wrong turn, leading to the Archduke being shot and two world wars. Or the day when Gutenberg finished his wooden printing press. Or the day in 1983 when Michael Jackson first performed the moonwalk on television. I kid you not, these were answers that were given. The answer the Bible would give without hesitation is the day 2,000 years ago when a man was executed outside Jerusalem. It is a day which didn't even make it onto that magazine list, but it was the day that most changed the course of history. And it may be that at the moment you're someone who would find that claim puzzling, even if you are prepared to admit that it probably has the edge over Jackson's moonwalking. You know, how can a public execution be so significant? The cross on which Jesus was killed is for Christians what the golden arches are to McDonald's, or the swoosh is for Nike. It's their logo that they proudly display everywhere. But why? The answer is found in two animals which feature in Handel's Messiah. One of the joys of YouTube is you're able to go back and watch clips from old television series that you saw when you were a child. And do you remember the rise and fall of Reginald Perrin? I was watching a clip the other day. Whenever his mother-in-law is mentioned, the picture switches to a clip of a hippopotamus lumbering across the mud flats. And for the record, my own mother-in-law is a truly wonderful person. But we often compare people with animals, don't we? So we say he's as strong as an ox, or she's as wise as an owl, as cunning as a fox, as busy as a bee. Or negatively, She's as stubborn as a mule, always as mad as a March hare, as slippery as an eel, as greedy as a pig, as proud as a peacock. Which animal would you compare yourself to? What are you most like? Here's what the Bible says about us. It's there on your sheet. It says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. All the texts in Handel's Messiah are verses from the Bible, and this is one of them. It's taken from the prophet Isaiah. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. When we talk about people behaving like sheep, the point we try to make is that they just do what everyone else is doing. You know, they don't think for themselves, they just follow the flock. And the Bible would say that is true, that spiritually we do tend to just follow the flow of those around us without thinking. But the particular point of comparison here, you'll see, is that sheep go astray. It says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I guess that's why the hills of England are crisscrossed with stone walls, because sheep have a tendency to wander off and do their own thing. I guess that's why you need sheepdogs, because sheep tend to just do their own thing. The Bible is saying that we are like that spiritually. That instead of going God's way, we have wandered off and gone astray. We have turned to our own way. And we all do it. We've done it as a human race. We do it as individuals. And it's what the Bible calls sin. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So we say, I know best. You know, I'll run my life as I see fit. I don't need someone else telling me what to do. Thank you very much. We ignore the voice of the shepherd, which is God in the Bible, and we do our own thing. Now, this going our own way has consequences, serious consequences, deadly ones. When you're out walking on the hills, you sometimes come across a few bones and some fluffs of wool. It's what's left over after a fox has finished his lunch of sheep with a side salad of grass. Wandering off as a sheep is a dangerous thing to do. And that is all the more true with us. That turning from going our way, turning from going God's way to going our way, that only leads one place. And the Bible says that one place is death. Spiritually, physically, eternally. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Going our own way, you see, it may feel like the ultimate act of freedom, as I'm sure it must do for Sean the sheep as he squeezes through that gap in the stone wall, but actually, it is the act of ultimate folly. Now, if I went to a life coach or if I picked up a sort of self-help book, I'd be told what an amazing person I am, and I'd feel even taller than I am at the moment. But God is not into flattery. He tells it the way it is. He says, we're like sheep. Yes, we're amazing because he made us, but we've become like sheep. It says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It's not a diagnosis that we like to hear. When our youngest was 2 years old, we were trying to potty train him. And my wife found him one day in the living room, and he had his trousers around his ankles, and his legs were wet, and he was standing in a pool of piddle. And she said to him, Nelson, it was his name, Nelson, have you piddled? And without missing a beat, he looked at her, and he said, no, Daddy did it. And it's a reaction that many of us have to God when he says that we've sinned, we've gone our own way. We say, it's not my fault. You know, someone else is to blame. Or perhaps we react like another Nelson, Lord Nelson, who as he lay dying said to his doctor, Doctor, I have not been a great sinner. Thank God I have done my duty. And isn't that how many of us think? You know, sure, I may not have gone God's way, but I'm not a great sinner either. I've done my duty. Upright citizen, and I'm sure that God, if he's there, he's going to accept me. But he won't, and he can't. We've gone our own way. And God cannot just turn a blind eye to that. Sin has to be judged. We're on the path of death, spiritually, physically, eternally. Well, what hope is there? The only hope is to be found in the other animal which features in Handel's Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's there on your sheet. It's taken from John's Gospel. The words of John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God. Don't know what associations lamb has in your mind. Perhaps spring, sunshine, frisky lambs leaping around the fields. Perhaps not, given that spring has been cancelled this year. For me, lamb means roast leg of with mint sauce. In the Bible, lamb means sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God's people deserved to die for going their own way. But God accepted the death of an animal, a bull, a goat, a lamb, in the place of the people. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the ultimate sacrifice God has provided for us. And he's the one that all those Old Testament animal sacrifices foreshadowed and pointed towards. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying in our place. And he took on himself our wrongdoing, our sin, our going our own way, and he paid for it. It was something the prophet Isaiah foretold some 800 years before Jesus was even born. He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." And it goes on, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all." He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The other day, my wife got a parking fine. She'd left the car on a yellow line at school pickup. I got a bit delayed, arrived back to find the traffic warden putting a ticket on the windscreen. And she explained that she'd been delayed because her oldest son has got special needs and he just wouldn't come. And the traffic warden could see her predicament and he was sorry. But in the end, he said, "Look, I wish I could do something, but I can't. You know, once the ticket's been written, I can't undo that." But what he could have done was to pay the 60 quid fine himself. I mean, that would have been nice if he'd done that. God is holy and just, and he can't just ignore our going our own way. God can't just rip up the ticket. If justice is not done, then morally God has no right to rule. But in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, God has entered our world. And in the death of Jesus, God, if you like, has taken out his own wallet and he has paid the penalty for us at enormous cost to himself so that we don't have to. There is no other way that sin can be dealt with and taken away. One article about the Jimmy Savile scandal was reflecting on the fact that on the one hand, there you've got someone who gave away apparently 90% of his wealth. But on the other hand, all these horrific abuse allegations. And the article talked about philanthropists, other philanthropists, so men who had dedicated their lives to charity, but who had also been corrupt. Someone had said this about one of them, who had done very public walks for leukemia. "He thinks that by doing one good big thing, it cancels out all the other little bad things. He thinks that by doing one good big thing, it cancels out all the little bad things." And the article ended by saying this: "Maybe the rest of us are no different." It is how many people think, isn't it? "Okay, I'm far from perfect, but God will see the good things I've done, and that will cancel out the bad stuff." It doesn't work like that. If it did, why would God have bothered with the Jesus bit? Only the Lamb of God can take away our sin and deal with it. Wouldn't you want him to do that for you? Wouldn't you want him to take away yours? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you? Well, sometimes we think that God is wanting to take away our fun and take away our freedom. He's actually wanting to take away our sin and the judgment that deserves. And he's wanting to give us forgiveness, hope, his Holy Spirit, eternal life. It's not a bad exchange. And it takes place when we accept what God has done for us in the death of his Son. Tomorrow morning, the bin men will come by our house, and the bin men will take away our rubbish. At least they will do if I remember to put the bins out. So I need to wheel out the bin so they know that I want them to take it away. And it's the same with our sin and the judgment that deserves. I need to wheel out the bin. I need to say to God, I want you to deal with this. I want you to take this away for me. How do you do that? God is only a prayer away. And it is really very simple. It is as simple as two animals. It's as simple as recognizing what I am like and saying sorry, and recognizing what Jesus is like and saying thank you. It's as simple as saying to God, look, I recognize that I'm like a sheep. I've gone my own way. I deserve death for that. I'm sorry. And I want to start going your way. I also recognize that Jesus is the Lamb who died for me, for my sin, in my place. And I want to thank you for that. And when you pray that, the great exchange takes place. And that day, 2,000 years ago, becomes the day which changed not just the course of history, but the course of your history, of your life, both now and beyond the grave and forever.